I'm excited today to start this new series on kingdom identity. And where I'm going with this, with kingdom identity, is that I want to teach you how to have kingdom authority. You can't have kingdom authority until you have kingdom identity. So, preacher, what do you mean by all of that? Well, Satan has been lying to us. He's been telling us that you'll never amount to much, you're defeated, you're discouraged, and what, you know, I am what people think of me and all that. No. We need to see who we are in Christ. We need to have a kingdom identity. Kingdom means where God is allowed to rule and reign. Regardless of what you go through, He is still King. Amen? I know Christy and others are going through the loss of your loved one, Sarah Hayes, and we're going to remember them. But you know what? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Because I know who King Jesus is. Amen? Are you ready to worship King Jesus today? Take your Bibles. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I noticed when I was talking, most of you have already done that. So praise the Lord. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. I love, love, love the book of Ephesians. It speaks of our riches that we have in Christ. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Here's my favorite verse, I think, in the Bible. I have a spell every time I read it. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Folks, you are accepted in Jesus Christ. You are not rejected. Someone said, well, how could a loving God send someone to hell? Well, a loving God has never sent anyone to hell. You send yourself to hell by rejecting a loving God. It's not His rejection, it's your rejection. He receives you. Let's thank Him for that. Father, I thank You that in Jesus Christ, we have all that we need. I pray that Your fresh oil of anointing would be here today, that we would listen to Your Holy Spirit as He teaches us Your word. Lord, we can't do it without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We pray today Your Holy Spirit would be welcome in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I heard this story about this lady who was in a big hurry. She was tailgating this guy, and the light was about to turn red. It was just turning yellow, and she was trying to push the guy through the intersection, and he saw the light turning yellow, so he did the right thing and went ahead and stopped. Well, she was in a hurry, and it made her so mad, she started cussing. She started fussing. She started raising all kinds. She did sign languages. She did everything she could. I mean, cussing, raising all kinds of sin. What she didn't know that there was a policeman behind her. And so he flips his light on, and he comes up to her door and knocks on the window. She lets the window down. She said, what? He said, ma'am, get out of the car. He gets her out of the car. He puts handcuffs on her, takes her to the police station, and arrests her. She said, well, wait a minute. I didn't break any crime here. He said, well, ma'am, there's been a mistake of an identity. I really thought that that was a stolen vehicle. Because on the back of your car, it says, I love Jesus. And it has a symbol of the fish. And it says that you are a member of a such and such church. I just knew that car was stolen because no Christian could act the way you were acting. Folks, how people look at us, how we are. And by the way, that's the truth of who we really are. We may think that we are everything that we think we are, but the fact is, what people see in us? Do they see the fruit? And we're going to talk about that today, the evidence of Christ being in you. And we're going to look at that. Now, you ever thought about identity theft? If you haven't, you know, that's a big concern today. Identity theft affects, did you know, tens of millions of people a year, and it costs billions of dollars in overall losses. Identity is an expensive thing. Have you or anyone you know been affected by any form of identity theft or fraud? It can be a major problem. What would you do if your identity was stolen? Did you know that in this letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul talks about identity? He gives, in fact, he goes to great lengths to teach the truth to a group of believers who had lost touch with who and what they were in Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to listen very carefully, and I know Satan don't want anybody to hear this message today, and it's easy to get distracted. The enemy stole the identity of this church in many ways. They did not know how rich they were, and that's what Paul's addressing, the riches that we have in Christ. But you go back all the way to the Garden of Eden. The enemy stole the identity that God gave us in the Garden of Eden, and it is only through Christ that we are reconnected with our God-given identity. Each of us is on a journey of a lifetime to reclaim the identity that has been stolen. The opposite of truth is deception or false belief, and will cause you to live in bondage. I dare say that's where most Christians are. We're living in bondage. This verse that I'm teaching on Wednesday night right now, Isaiah 58:6, it says that we might break every yoke of bondage. It talks about that we are an oppressed people. I think a lot of churches are oppressed by the enemy. I've heard it all my life. Well, we're just a little church. We can't accomplish much. Let me tell you something, friend. There is no church that has a monopoly on God's power. What God does in one place, He can do in another place. God can work through any people who are willing to let Him work through them. Amen? Now, think about that. The opposite of truth is a deception, and we've been deceived. The subject, this subject is of no exception. If you see yourself as a failure, you'll not be able to boldly exercise your authority in Christ because you will feel like a failure. You'll go through life feeling unworthy. Even after the blood of Jesus that we just celebrated last weekend, talking about the cross, after the blood of Christ has made you worthy, the Bible says. If you claim to be unworthy after the blood of Christ has made you worthy, then you're denying the work of Christ in your life. I want you to say to yourself, I am worthy because of Jesus. His blood makes you a valuable asset. He paid too dear a price for you just to let you go and do any old way. I am worthy because of Jesus. If you don't feel worthy to exercise your authority in Christ, then you won't be doing what God has called you to do, and that is that we would walk in victory, not in defeat. So many Christians are defeated. So many Christians are discouraged. Satan works diligently to program people's minds to feel unworthy and unable to walk in the power of God here on this earth. This is one of the most popular strongholds in existence today in the body of Christ. And we need to recognize that Satan has stolen our identity. He wants to steal our spiritual identity. Well, here's how we will claim kingdom identity. Number one, the source of our identity. The source of our identity. Well, our source is Christ. Focus on this phrase. Three different times in these few verses, you'll see in Christ. In verse one, you see it, the last part, faithful in Christ. Look at verse three. He says the last part, in heavenly places, in Christ. Verse four, according as He have chosen us, in Christ, in Him. In fact, the phrase in Christ is used 27 different times in this short letter. 27 times. I'll tell you, the source of our identity is in God the Father, in that God Himself loved us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice what He says in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, from the beginning of time, God, even before you and I were ever thought of, He thought of how He could save your soul. Because the Bible says, even before the foundations of the world, He had chosen you. Think about that. The source of our identity is all found in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. It describes the spiritual position of the believer, which means to be in Christ and therefore is able to draw upon the wealth of Christ for his daily living. Jesus is the source of our identity. Christ in you, the Bible says, the hope of glory. Have you ever thought about the battle for your identity? If your earthly identity was stolen, you'd contact the police right away. To recover a stolen identity, you need facts and you need records from an authority. Only an authority can restore what has been stolen. Kingdom authority is all about your kingdom identity. You can't take authority in your life until you know who and what you are in your identity. And you are in Christ alone. That's the only way that we please the Holy God is through Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. Someone ought to have a fit because we're in Christ today. And then your source of identity is that you're chosen. You're chosen. Now, don't let nothing distract you right now, because you'll go out of here thinking or saying something I didn't say. Because we're going to deal with this doctrine of election. The Bible says, according as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. A seminary professor once said, try to explain election and you'll lose your mind. Try to explain it away and you'll lose your soul. That salvation begins with God and not with man, and all Christians have to agree with that. It all begins with God and not with man. That salvation begins with God and not with man is what it's all about. God chose us even before he created the universe, which means salvation is totally a work of grace and not on the basis of anything we ourselves have done, because he chose us before the foundations of the world. So I don't know where people get into this works mentality that they got to work to be saved. I do believe you work after you're saved, but I believe, friend, that God chose us before the foundation of the world. You say, explain that. Well, I can't explain it all, but I'm going to tell you what kind of preacher I am. I don't know who God's chosen. I don't know who God's elected. I can't pull up someone's shirt and look on their back to see if there's an E on it. So I'm going to preach the gospel to everyone, because I believe that the gospel is for everyone. You say, well, preacher, explain election. The only way I know to explain it is that God knows all things, and he knew who would receive him and who would reject him. And he chose you. Think about that for a minute. Your identity is that God chose you. Now, I was going to preach a different message today. You saw it in the bulletin, ID, mark, or seal. I was going to talk about the mark of the beast, and we're going to deal with that. That's a serious identity, to take the mark of the beast. 666, the buy and sell. And the Bible says that's the way it will be. In fact, you can all see that that's the way the world's going. You know, real quick, we're going to be doing away with currency, already have. Nobody wants cash anymore. But we're going to deal with the fact of what it is to be marked by the Antichrist. And we'll deal with that later. The reason I went ahead and put that on hold was because I feel like you and I better know, first of all, who we are in Christ. The source of our identity is Christ. The source of our identity is that he chose us. He chose us in Christ, not in ourselves. He chose us for a purpose, to be holy and without blame before him in love. Election is a privilege that carries a great responsibility. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Amen? And I don't understand all that God does, but I'm so thankful that he does it the way he did it. And think about it. Don't ever take your salvation for granted, because God never took you for granted. Don't ever lay back and say, well, you know, one little sin won't matter. Amen. You know, you think about that for a minute. You teach your kids. They get a hold of a box of matches. No, you're not going to. Why would you take a box of matches from your child? Because you think, well, I don't want him to burn the house down. But he says, well, just one. Just one. Just one. It's all it takes, right? Just one. Just one drink would be all right. One drug would be all right. One extramarital affair would be all right. Just one time. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. If we ever start seeing sin as the way God sees it, oh my, there would be a brokenness among the church like we've never seen. I'll tell you, to think about that God chose us, even in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a Savior we have. Election is a privilege that carries a great responsibility. And then I'm going to tell you where my identity is, where your identity is. It's in Christ alone. It's the fact that He would love us enough that He would call us. And think about it. He called us to Himself. You didn't find God. He found you. That's why you can't lose what you didn't find. Did y'all get that? You can't lose. You didn't find God in the first place. He found you. And then the third word I want to give you is the cross is our identity. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, verse 4. Identify with this cross. That is the only way I can be holy and without blame. It's through the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, the cross crosses us out and puts Christ in us. And as Christ is in us, that's what pleases the holy God. Not nothing I or you can do, but what God has done in us through Christ as we have been chosen to serve Him. And it was all because of the cross of Calvary, where Jesus shed His precious red, ruby, royal blood. He died for you. He suffered for you. And why did He go through such suffering? Because of the stripes on His back or the crown of thorns on His head? No, I'll tell you the greatest suffering of all was that He was alienated from God. God turned His back on Jesus because Jesus took your sin and He took my sin. God will never turn His back on you because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But He had to turn His back on Jesus because on the cross, Jesus became sin for us. I want to identify with the cross. I want everyone who's baptized in this baptistry to understand this. You are identifying with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I won't go to tell you this, but I can't help but think some things that Paul, my pastor, told me when I was a little boy. I don't even remember this, but he baptized me. I was saved under his ministry, and since he's here, I'm going to tell this story. I say it because I don't remember it. He says, Ronnie, when you came up out of that water, it was like a rock skimping across the top of the water. He said, you literally walked on the water. He said, you just came up out of that, and I don't remember none of it. He said, you came up out of the water, and you were just a-shouting, and you ran all the way up to the shore just a-praising God. You know, I can't help it. Paul, I just still get those spells. I'm so glad I've never been high on any drug or alcohol, but I'm high when I think about what Jesus did for me. And folks, I'll tell you, if the cross of Calvary lights your fire, your wood is wet. If the cross of Calvary, if you're not identified with what Jesus did on that cross, I'll tell you who you are. Look up here. You may be a member of this church, but you're lost. Amen. You may have been baptized, but you're lost. Unless you've come to the cross of Christ. Jesus said it best. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can go to the Father but by me. What He did on the cross, He said, it is finished. He did everything needed to be done to please His Heavenly Father. Oh, I could just preach. I'd have a spell right here today. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified with me and I unto the world. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, the life of every believer is now repositioned in Christ. The message of the cross is power. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God to reclaim our stolen identity. Amen. Church, I want you to get this. It's important that you understand this. Your attitude, well, there ain't no hope for me. There ain't no hope for my life. There ain't no hope for my family. Let me tell you something. Because Jesus died on the cross, there's always hope. He paid a price, and He is our hope. And the cross is a picture of our hope. And our only hope to be right with the holy God is through the finished work. We just got through celebrating His resurrection. How can you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and really believe in it and live in defeat? We are not a defeated foe. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You say, well, preacher, I've heard that preached all my life, but how do you claim that? I'll tell you how you do it. You've got to turn loose, as she sung a moment ago, let it go so you can get filled with what God's got to fill you with. Now, I'm going to go somewhere. Here we go. We're going to go deep now because there's the source of our identity, and then there's the strength of our identity. What is the strength of our identity? Well, now listen, I've heard this all my life, and I'm like, you know, you just believe what people have told you. Do you know you can be told something that's not true and believe it? Sure you can. He talks about saints here, and I've heard all my life, well, you can't be a saint until you die. Well, that's a lie. If you're saved, you're a saint. Let me show you. Verse 1, to the saints which are in Ephesus, notice what he says here, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul is speaking of kingdom identity here. Canonization of sainthood was that you had to be dead. You had to live a life above reproach. Your character had to be above reproach. And you had to work two miracles to make you a candidate to be a saint. I've got a Greek word for that. Baloney. The word saint means one who's been set apart. It is related to the word sanctified, which means set apart. We are not patched up sinners. We're not just sinners. Now, I've heard this all my life, so don't let me offend anyone. We're not just sinners saved by grace. We've got much more. I love Romans 5, where it says, everything you lost in Adam, you gained in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you something, friend. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are saints of the living God through the finished work of Christ. And I identify. I tell you, the strength of our identity is that we are called saints. We're not just sinners saved by grace. We're saints of the living God. No one values you more than God. Isaiah 43:3 says, as you are precious in his sight. I'm extremely valuable for two reasons. You might want to write these down. Put it this way. I'm extremely valuable. Number one, because God is my father and I am his son or his daughter. I'm in his family. Kingdom identity is this. I'm a child of the king. Amen. And he's my father. Because God is my father, I'm therefore in his family. Second of all, because Jesus gave his life for me. Value is determined by the price someone's willing to pay. If you're saved, you're a saint. Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If you're truly saved, you will be found faithful. Faith in God results in faithfulness. Not talking about living faithful enough to get to heaven, but because of your faith, he's saying. Because of your faith. Not this hit and miss stuff that you see in our day. Man, I've never seen so many people today in my life that are just hit and miss. You can't count on them. They're up one day, they're down another. Their emotions are overwhelming. They are depressed. So many Christians get depressed. So many Christians are discouraged today. And I'll tell you why. Satan is at work. I'm telling you, he wants to keep you defeated so you will not learn your kingdom identity. If you ever learn who you are in Christ, that you are a saint of God, you might start acting like it. Hello? That's why a lot of times, can I tell you the TI is truth today? The truth of the matter is this. We want to say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Like we are more focused on our sin than our salvation. Are y'all following me? You know, people don't want to hear the truth because if they hear the truth, they have to do something with it. We'd rather lie to ourselves. Well, I'm just defeated. I'm just an old caterpillar. I'm just a worm. What did that worm do? He crawled up under a branch, formed himself in a cocoon by the power of God, and comes out a butterfly. Look up here, folks. You want to know your identity? You're a butterfly. You're not a caterpillar. That's your identity. You are a saint of the living God. And I believe that the aroma of his presence ought to be in our life. I think the colors of God ought to be all over us. You say, what are the colors of God? I'll tell you what he did for me. He washed my sins white. I believe I will have a spell. He made me right with the Holy God. I am saved, I am sanctified, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost because when Jesus saved me, he did it all at one time. And that's the second thing. Never stick with anything. A lot of folks just don't stick with nothing. I've decided I'm going to go with the one who came back from the grave. What about you? Some people want that Burger King religion, just a little doubt, you know, just I want it my way or the highway. You just fix it. We want things our way. Here's the way you gain your strength, the spirit. Charles Stanley said this morning, and it struck a nerve with me. He says, you don't hear much preaching in our churches about the Holy Spirit. Look up here. You do hear. You hear, I had a guy tell me when I came here, he said, man, you talk more about the Holy Spirit than I've ever heard. Well, guess what? I'm not done yet. I'm just going to get into it. Look what he says. And this is literally the meaning of this verse. If you don't dig into this, you'll not know this. Verse 3, who hath blessed us, that is strengthened us, with all spiritual blessings. Now look the meaning of that up, and it means the Holy Spirit. This is translated all the blessings of the Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is mentioned many times in this letter because He is the one who gives us the strength to live the Christian life. Look up here, folks. You can't live the Christian life, but the Holy Spirit can. Not only will He live in and through you, the Bible says He'll teach you all truth so that no man needs to tell you what truth is. When you hear the truth, you should hear the Holy Spirit in your heart saying amen. And by the way, if the Holy Spirit don't excite you, there's something wrong. I'm not charismatic. I'm not one to get out here and run up and down the aisles and swing from the chandeliers. If we had some, I might. But anyway, I'm not one to do that. Someone said, preacher, have you been filled with the Spirit to speak with tongues? No, I've never spoke with tongues, but the truth of the matter is, for me, not judging you, but me, I need to let the Holy Spirit control the tongue I do have. The bigger challenge is not whether I spoke in some unknown language. I'm not saying that it's wrong if somebody speaks in an unknown language. I just need God to control my language. What about you? You see, that's the Holy Spirit in us. I believe the evidence that we're saved is that there's been a change in our life. And we don't talk the same way we used to talk. We don't use four-letter words. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your heart's right with God. I believe out of the same fountain cannot sweet water and bitter water flow. You got the Holy Spirit in you. I believe some sweet things are going to be said. In fact, this is the thing that I look for. I want it to be in my life. I've not got there. I've got some people teasing me right now. They tease me. You ever got teased in a church? I get teased. I got some people calling me Ronnie Love. Ronnie Love. God bless them. But I want to be known as that. The first fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. If we don't have love for one another, I doubt seriously we are of God. Jesus said, this is how they will know you're of me, how you love one another. Amen? And if we can't love each other whom we have seen, how can we say we love God whom we have not seen? Only by the Spirit of God do we have the strength enough to live out the Christian life and to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you need to remember all that because I'm going somewhere. Ephesians 3:16 says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? If the answer is no, then you're not saved. Uh-oh, probably made someone mad. When I grew up as a little child, before I met Paul Jones, I grew up in a church that said you had to receive the gift of tongues, and with the gifts of tongues, that was the evidence of salvation. I was taught that as a little boy. That was wrong teaching. That's wrong teaching. Speaking in tongues can't save you. It can't. Only Jesus can save you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit, though? When you believed. And if the answer is no, then you're not saved. Romans 8:9. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Holy Spirit identifies us as children of God. Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Here's what I believe. If you believe different, you got the right to be wrong. I mean, you got the right to believe what you want to believe. All right. I believe when you receive Jesus, you receive all the Father, all the Son, and all the Holy Spirit. I don't believe you can separate the Trinity. If you separate any one of them, then you make them another God, and there's only one God. You say, explain the Trinity. Well, I can't, but I believe it. I mean, the fullness of the Trinity, and what a prayer Jesus prayed. Father, make them one as you and I are one. That's some strong oneness. Amen. Wow, we're trying to get ready for revival. If we'd get broken before God and become as one, revival would already be breaking out. Really, that's by the Spirit of God. And then third of all, the word I want to give you, the strength in your identity, the strength of your identity. You've been called a saint by God. He's indwelt you by His Holy Spirit. But understand this, this is an important word. He is your sufficiency. Having predestinated us, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Predestination is often misunderstood. This word, as it is used in the Bible, refers primarily to what God does for saved people. Election refers to people. Predestination refers to purpose. In other words, we are complete in Jesus Christ. Our sufficiency is in Jesus Christ, not in ourselves. Some people say, well, you're predestined to go to hell. I have a hard time believing that. You know, I just want to believe this, that God has given his word that whosoever will may come. But God, once you come to God, once you are a child of God, I believe God has a divine purpose in your life. I believe with all my heart listen to what I'm about to say, and I'm about to wrap this up. We must have a kingdom mentality. Everybody look up here. I want to say it again. The best thing for Gorge Springs Baptist Church to do is to discover a kingdom mentality. Not thinking just of me, not just thinking of you, but thinking of the kingdom. Where God is ruling and reigning. Now, he is king, amen? I know everybody got excited and thinking, well, who's going to be the next president? I'm more concerned about who's the king of kings and the Lord of lords, amen? Now, follow my thinking on this. Folks, he is everything you and I need. He is our sufficiency. All that we need, we have been justified, we've been made right with God, therefore we have peace with God. This means that your relationship with God has been restored and you can boldly enter into his presence with a clean heart, a clean slate. You don't have to go around defeated and discouraged because you've got Jesus in your life, folks. That's all that matters. You have a clear conscience because of your faith in Jesus Christ and the work he has done on the cross. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Adoption has a dual meaning, both present and future. You do not get into God's family by adoption. You get into his family by regeneration, the new birth. Adoption is the act of God by which he gives his born ones an adult standing in the family. Why? So that we might immediately begin to claim our inheritance and enjoy our spiritual wealth. A little baby might have its inheritance, but it can't enjoy it. It's just a baby. We have been made adopted as adults in the kingdom of God. In other words, he wants us to walk with kingdom authority right now, not when we get to heaven, but now. That means this: we're to be walking over the enemy. We're to be walking over the flesh, not the flesh walking over us or the enemy walking over us. Friend, I'll tell you, if you know Jesus today, your strength is because he is your sufficiency. His Holy Spirit is with you. He calls you saints, not just sinners saved by grace. Last, and I'm not done, but this is the best verse, verse 6. The salvation of our identity. I want to talk about glory for just a minute. The word glory. He says to the praise of his glory. When you were born into the family of God, you were born rich. How? Through Christ, you share the riches of God's grace. Now, I want to go somewhere with this word. I used to think, well, God created me. I'm his creation. So he saves me because I'm his creation. That's not right. I used to think this. I thought this for a long time. Well, God loves me. I know he does. He still does. He saved me. Now listen carefully. Because he loves me. Nope. He does love us, but that's not the reason he saved us. You know why God saved you? So that he'd get all the glory. To the glory of his grace, we are accepted in the beloved. In other words, you and I don't get any glory here, but follow me. Are y'all with me right now? Follow me. It is a wonderful thing. It is a precious thing. It is a kingdom thing when you can give God all the glory for your life. Amen. It feels good. It feels a lot better, even to your humanity, even in your flesh, it really feels good to give God glory because you know he's worthy of it. Amen? I mean, if everybody's patting you on the back, oh, you're so wonderful. Well, that don't last long. But when you give God glory, that's forever and ever and ever. You know what we're going to be doing in heaven? I tell you, we're not going to be acting like Baptists. We're going to be acting like saints. And we're going to be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Glory to your name." I'll tell you, when I see those nail-scarred hands, I know I'm going to have a fit. Glory, glory, glory. He touched me, and I'll never be the same. Amen. You know, I think about identification, and I think about how we identify with our favorite sport team, is sports. You know, it's funny how we are. I mean, especially football season. Sherry loves football, and we really get into football. We like football. And it's funny, you know, basketball. You know, we really get into basketball. Baseball, we all got our favorite teams. Isn't it funny how we all think, you know how we say it? We won. Yeah, we won. Now look, we didn't handle the ball. We didn't throw the ball. We didn't shoot the ball. We didn't hit the ball. But what do we say? We won. We won. I mean, we put on our identification. We wear our jersey of the player we think's the best, someone that we really like, and we identify with that player. We say, that's my guy. Are you paying his salary? I don't know. We brag a lot, especially if you're a Carolina fan and you won the national championship. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for that, Jack. I knew you. Jack's over there grinning from ear to ear. He identifies with the North Carolina Tar Heels. Amen. And the Duke fans said, "I don't really like Jack anyhow." I like you, Jack. Here's the glory. You didn't die on a cross. You didn't pay for the sins of all mankind. You didn't raise from the dead. But look up here, folks. You give God the glory for what he did for you, you win. We won because of Calvary. If you accept his finished work, the glory of salvation is all because of what Jesus did to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now, I'm going to teach you something real quick. Now, look up here. I'm trying to finish quick. But you know what? We are quick to identify ourselves when we want someone to notice us. Kids, I know the answer to that question in school. I know the answer. We want somebody to see us. We're in a crowd of people, and we got some family and friends going to meet us. Right here. I'm right here. You know what you're doing? You're standing in kingdom authority. You're basically saying, this is the family, right? This is where we're sitting. You're standing in authority. I know the answer to that question. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Now, I'm not trying to teach you to be a bunch of charismatics and act foolishly. But I do believe that when the church stands up and we begin to give God praise, when we lift up our hand, we are standing in authority against the devil. Let me tell you, the devil hates it when people praise God. They can't. Look, I had this thought so clear in my mind Sunday morning. Man, we had a crowd here for the sunrise service. Jesus comes out of the tomb. The smoke alarms go off. The devil didn't like that one bit. I thought about it. How horrible that was for the devil that we got here early Sunday morning and worshiped the Lord and gave God praise. But I'm going to tell you, look up here, folks. When you give God glory and you praise him for the glory of his grace in your life, you are denouncing the devil, and you're saying, I've won. I've got Jesus, and I'm going to pray. You say, I don't shout. I never shout on anything I've done. I'm going to shout on what he's done. Amen? I have no righteousness of my own, but unto God, I've got the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to praise him. I'm going to thank him, because guess what, good Baptist? You all are going to do it when you get to heaven. Amen? You say, well, preacher, I'm just a little ashamed right here. I'm just going to give him a little hand clap. You want to have authority over the devil? Give God praise. Amen. To the praise of the glory of his grace. The second word is grace. And you already know this word. God in his mercy doesn't give me what I do deserve, but God in his grace gives me what I don't deserve. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Just mark her down. That's God's G, God, R, riches, A, at C, Christ, E, expense. And then the last word, and I'm done. We're grafted. Did you know that that's a word a lot of people don't understand? But what does it mean? He says, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved is Jesus. John 15, 1 through 8 talks about the true vine. By the way, if there's a true vine, there's a false vine. The true vine is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now follow the logic of this. The salvation of our identity is this. We are Gentiles. Any Jews here? No Jews. The Jews were God's chosen, God's people. He called them out. They were, as Jesus told the woman at the well, salvation is of the Jews. Or the woman told Jesus, salvation is of the Jews. Jesus was a Jew. But Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. God called the apostle Paul out to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And here the true vine is the Lord Jesus Christ. Gordy and I were reading New Members class this morning. How did it identify Israel as the
vine that was broken?
Yeah, but what so he was the original branch was Israel. The branch that was God's design was Israel, okay? But thank God that we've been grafted into the true vine, to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, what does all that entail? Our Father wants to ensure that believers will be fruitful for this reason. They are removed from the dead tree of humanity, and they are grafted into the living vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus came unto his own, as I said, but I like what Paul says in Romans chapter 11. He said, I wanted to teach this to make the Jews jealous, that the gospel is also to the Gentiles that they might believe and receive. I'm telling you, this is a powerful thing to think about who we are. You say, well, preacher, what is it that you want to really say? Here's what I really want to say to you today. The Bible says we are members, we've been grafted into the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the vine. He is the life. He's the life giver for us. Now, here's what is the evidence that that life is in you. There will be real, genuine fruit. Not something you buy at a grocery store. Hello? We're not talking about a product. We're talking about produce. The real evidence, the identity that Jesus Christ is in you, that you are a member of the true vine. Are y'all listening today? He said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. You know, one of the problems I see in the church, that we branches want to look at each other. And we want to look over there and say, well, Dale, your fruit's not like my fruit. Evidently, you must not be what I am. You know, we all are different. I don't know what kind of fruit he, you know, I'm not responsible. And this is what I want to say. I'm not responsible. He's got to bear his own fruit. He's his own branch. You know what my job is? To abide in the vine. The Greek word there is meno, which means to stay the course. Don't be up and down. Don't be in and out. Stay the course. Stay where God put me. Where did God put you? In the vine, right? Jesus is the vine. You're the branches. And he said there will be fruit, more fruit. And he said there will be much fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Now, church, what is your identity? What is your kingdom identity? That you are a child of the King. Amen? And the evidence of that, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and on, because we are members of the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's my question for you. Do you identify with the cross of Christ? Have you received? I'm not saying do you just believe on him. I'm saying have you received him as your Lord and Savior? You say, what does it really mean? What does it really mean to be a true child of God? Look up here. You got to be willing to surrender your whole life. And I'm afraid, I'm not trying to judge you, but listen to this. I'm afraid a lot of people haven't surrendered. Yep, they joined the church. They were baptized. But Jesus don't save 99% of you. He saves 100% of you. 24/7, you're to be identified with Jesus Christ. I've lost my identity. I don't want it back. Who I used to be. I'm a child of the King, and I'm not going to let no devil rob me of that joy. What about you? Someone robbing you of your joy? Are you looking at some other branches and saying, well, that branch, Sherry Stewart, she just robs me. No. No one can take your joy away from you. You can give it away. Amen? I decided I'm going to shout whether y'all shout or not. I'm going to enjoy my walk with God whether anybody else enjoys it or not. Amen? And you can look at me. I'll tell you what. I went and preached at the association. Y'all saw the looks I got. People looked at me like, where did he come from? So, I mean, I really felt like, what in the world's going on here? And I got a call this week from a gentleman. He said, I've been trying to get up with you ever since you preached at the associational meeting. He said, that sermon you preached was just for me. He said, God's calling me into the ministry. He said, tell me that they recorded that. It was at First Baptist Church Irwin. I said, sir, I don't know if the church recorded it or not, but no, I didn't. He said, well, listen, I hate to ask you to do this. If it's too much, you tell me. Could you just send me all your notes? He said, God used that sermon to call me into the ministry. I said, wow. I said, I'll be tickled to death to send all of it to you. I'm going to tell you something, friend. None of that is mine. It's all his. I don't preach my gospel. I preach his gospel. I don't have a word for you today, but God does. And here's his word. He really, 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 really loves you. He does. He gave his son to die for you. He rose again for you. And here's the word I want you to get. He'll save you today. You say, preacher, I'm so discouraged right now. I'm so defeated in my sin. I don't care how big your sin is. God's grace is bigger. We're going to sing right now. And as we sing, I want you to just let the Holy Spirit of God flow in your heart right now. The Bible says no man can be saved unless the Spirit draws him. Let's all stand up. I'm going to have a prayer with you. What is your identity? Have you allowed Satan to steal it? I want us to give Jesus worship right now. It's in Christ. Look up here. In Christ and in Christ alone. If you are not identified with Jesus Christ, then you're none of his. Jesus is the only way. There's a lot of churches out there preaching there are other ways to God. Folks, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And if you'll come to him today, look, I don't care what you've done. You say, I've been identified with harlots. I've been identified with drunkards. I've been identified with dope addicts. Well, today you can be identified with Jesus. Because Jesus will forgive you of all those sins. To the praise of the glory of his grace, listen to this, you are accepted in the beloved. Isn't it wonderful to be accepted? Amen. Thank God that we're accepted in Christ. Father, as this invitation is given, I pray that people will feel that this is an invitation just for them. This is not my invitation, this is your invitation. Jesus, you are everything that we need right now. You are our sufficiency. And I pray if there's one person who is not in Christ today, maybe they prayed a prayer at some point. Maybe they joined the church at some point. Maybe they were baptized, but they've never surrendered their life. They've never surrendered their heart. They never said, all right, I'm all his. I pray today that we'll all be his. We'll be all in. Because, Lord, I've read the back of the book. And like I said about the sports illustration, we win. Because of Jesus. I want to be, and thankful that we can be, on the team of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.